From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Deborah, and yes, you're listening to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. This is a Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast. We're here at 1510 AM, Revolution Boston, region 5 states, and I love 1510 because we reach people that do not have computers, nor do they want them, and this way they can hear Dr. Bernie just by turning the dial. And then we can go from there at dreamvision7radio.com. You can hear Bernie Wednesday through Friday every week, 12 noon and 12 a.m., just by going on dreamvision7radio.com and click Listen Live Audio. There's also a schedule there for all the other airings with our affiliates. So good day, Bernie.
Good day.
And so we are going to be talking about aggression and rejection, and what's on your mind and many others out there is what's happened in Colorado and why we have people killing each other in this country and beyond.
Yep. It's I just have sent a number of letters to the editor on, you know, various subjects, but I'm impressed when I look back, because I wanted to read a couple. I mean, one was on what went on in Colorado and another about aggression, but as I'm looking back over the last year, here's another one, because I want to get to this in the sense of looking at how we value life.
Mm-hmm.
Editor, I believe all executions are to be condemned because every life is of value. Why is it okay to kill a doctor who performs abortions, but not okay to why is it okay to electrocute a criminal knowing that mistakes are made and some so-called criminals are innocent? We need to respond to the sickness which created the evil act and not become like our enemies and act like criminals too. I always remember the boy who was going to commit suicide. I mean, he was sexually abused by his parents and people they knew and was HIV positive. And that's how I got in touch with him, trying to help him survive the disease. But he called me one day to say, I'm going to commit suicide. And I said, why don't we get a gun and kill your parents? I mean, you're not acting like all the other kids. And he said, no, I never want to be like my parents.
Mm.
I mean, that was what a powerful statement for that boy to make.
Yeah.
What was fortunate enough was when he went down to the subway, as he said, I planned to jump in front of the A train. The train was late, so he called the suicide prevention hotline, and they came and taught him about love.
Oh.
They really rescued him.
Oh, that's beautiful,
and
Bernie.
Again, you know, but it's interesting. I just found what I just told you in that same, you know, letter to the editor. But I think that it again, when we think about our, you know, what shall we say, our, you know, our attitude towards people, you know, that we're willing to kill. And I before I wrote this, I, you know, looked up things. Related to executions, and there was an article about how painful and difficult it is for the executioners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it never occurred to me to think about that, but that this was something that they were suffering with that nobody stopped to think about.
Sure.
And let me just, as I go through... because one or the other, here, studies reveal 70% of high school students have contemplated suicide. 98% of college students in a Harvard study who suffered a major illness by midlife had said that they didn't feel loved by their parents. So again, you know, our self-destruction relates back to that love.
Right.
And I think, again, when we let the kids know we love them, a lot of things begin to happen. You know, what I call a reverence for life, that if they, because I put a list in, I'm not sure which, let me see if I can find that article again, that, you know, if you bring up children with animals, and, well, I remember our children carrying insects out of the house. You know, like I'm ready to swat something, and they'll say, no, Dad, stop a minute. I would say, what are you talking about? And they would say, you know, why do you want to kill, you know, a creature? And they would take it and carry it out. And I may have, you know, I tell so many stories so many times, but I have always carried earthworms, picked them up in the street and put them on the ground to save their lives so cars don't run over them. And I have always thought it's really a bizarre behavior. You know, why are you doing this? I mean, it was like something I can't control. I have to. But I really felt it's related to my life and past life and how I value life. And so it rubs off on your children. Because even talking about something like Colorado, you know, if your parents were picking up worms, would you go out and kill people?
Yeah, you don't. Well, you don't know because you don't have an inside view of what their life was like under their roof.
Yeah, and, but if your parents are picking up and saving the lives of worms, I can't imagine that the life in that home would be a difficult one.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
But if they're stepping on them or don't give a damn, yeah, then you're not valuing life. Because
yeah.
Schweitzer literally wrote about picking up worms. He helped me realize I'm not crazy when I read his article not too long ago, really. He said, you know, if he sees an earthworm, he picks it up, puts it on the ground. If he sees an insect struggling in a puddle of water, he puts a leaf in the water for the insect to climb up on.
Mm.
And I thought, wow. You know, I mean, if you had that man in your life, how can you hurt something?
Right,
and
right.
This was a list I made in a letter to the editor, too. First, let the kids know you love them, even if you do not like what they are doing. Spend time with them. Get pets for them to care for. Eliminate indifference, rejection, and abuse by parents. And I would say not just parents, teachers, clergy, you know, all the doctors, the authority. Give them mottos to live by, like do what makes you happy. Trouble of God's redirection, something good will come of this. For younger kids, I mentioned my book Smudge Bunny that has that message in it. And material things are to make the world a better place and not to accumulate to oppress the neighbors. If you are happy, you are a success. Write a suicide note and a love note about yourself. Put them in separate piles in front of the kids, and they will see suicide pile much higher than the love pile. I mean, if you give it to the kids as homework, that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Then they know they're not alone in their experience, and they start talking to each other, and the suicide rate goes down.
Yeah.
Teach them it takes courage to choose life. And I mean that, because a lot of teachers used to say to me, how can you ask the kids to do that? Maybe they'll go home and commit suicide. And one school system put that in as a policy and noticed that the suicide rate went down. And I realized it because, again, if you grow up with love and you see a kid come to school with a black eye and you say, hey, what happened? Oh, I fell off my bike.
Right.
Is that true?
Yeah.
No, his father walloped him.
Mm-hmm.
But he feels like I'm the only kid in the class who has a father like this, so I'm not going to tell them. So I'll lie to them. So if you're loved, you don't know it's a lie.
Right. Or you're embarrassed, so you make up something.
Right. But if you see, but if the wall comes down and you realize, wow, look at that pile of suicide notes.
Mm.
So I guess I can talk to the other guys. They just, you know, feeling like I'm feeling.
And at what age, Bernie, would you start that?
Oh, well, I'd say maybe fifth, sixth, seventh grades. I mean, yeah, and then into high school, definitely.
Yeah.
I would do that. Now, one of the things, to keep going with my letters, see, happy, because there was an article in our local paper, I'm in Connecticut, this is in New Haven, Connecticut. It was an article on boxing and basketball for and it was years ago that the psychiatrist Carl Menninger said to me, Bernie, aggression is normal. I mean, I couldn't understand that. How can aggression be normal? But he said it's how you use it. I mean, I love getting people to, you know, have their eyes pop out when they say to me, oh, you're a surgeon. Why did you become a surgeon? I said, well, I like to cut people up. And as a reaction formation to my destructive tendencies, I became a surgeon. And they look at you like, oh, my God, you know, he's sick. But the psychiatrist, Menninger, actually said that to me. I had to laugh. But it's, again, see, thinking about why do you choose a career. I was talking to our cancer support group last night. I said, you know, they can be mad at their doctors, but I said, how would you like to be an oncologist for a week? See, why would you even pick that specialty? You know, think about that. I mean, you want to be a doctor. You know, you could be a dermatologist, not have to deal with life and death. You could be a pediatrician. You love kids. I mean, whatever. But why would you want to be an oncologist? I mean, to deal with the disease that you know you're going to have trouble curing. And, again, Menninger said, well, maybe they need to fail. See, so how you're brought up can have a lot to do with the choices you make in your life. And I really felt that I became a surgeon for what I call healthy reasons. Which we can get into later, but meaning that I liked people and fixing things, and, you know, that's why it became painful, and I realized you can't fix and cure everybody. But let me read this letter to you. First, this was about aggression. See, I was quite pleased to see the articles on boxing and basketball for inner-city children. We have to realize that aggression is a normal feeling, but how it is used is what is important. Playing football, boxing, driving nails into the wall of a house you're building, and more can contribute to society and everyone's welfare. While guns, knives, abuse, and rejection just lead to more abuse and destructive behavior. I grew up on the streets of New York and played games in the streets and playgrounds, and the gangs I belonged to never hurt each other or fought with each other because we were competing on the streets by playing ball. I mean, we had snowball fights, you know what I mean, and things like that. But I never went out in the street afraid that the neighboring gang was going to show up with guns and knives. Yeah, they may throw snowballs at me, but hey, okay, so you run and go get your gang or go home. One more point. Oh, yeah, this I get such a kick out of in New York. Making sugary soft drink bottles smaller will not help improve our health and lower than making cigarettes shorter, or reducing the alcohol content of alcohol-containing drinks, or reducing the dosage of narcotic medications. When self-worth and self-esteem due to how they were raised, their behavior is self-destructive. Aggression, which leads to early onset of disease and a shorter lifespan. So make available to our children places where they can compete and be aggressive in healthy ways and show them all that you love them and care about them even when you don't like their behavior. Love and like are two separate entities which people understand better when caring for and loving their pets. And you know, I keep thinking about so many stories, people going to work and shooting people, going to school and shooting people. It's, again, because they have felt rejected and they're embarrassed and they want to get even and seek revenge and all the nonsense that goes with it. And when somebody comes along and says, I love you, what a difference it makes. And as I say, parents obviously have a powerful role. Teachers have a role. Clergy have a role. Doctors have a role. You know, if you let the kids know, hey, you're a child of God, I love you.
Right.
Then they can survive. Or they can speak up if there's abuse at home and say to somebody, I need help.
Right.
What's going on in my home? So somebody will come and rescue you.
Yes, yes. I'm sorry, Bernie. We need to take our first break. So everyone, don't go away. Stay with us more with Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Saturdays 2 to 3 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Saturday 2 to 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Would you like to be a radio star? Now there's a show that allows holistic business owners to test the radio wave waters with ease. Host your own show on the Global Holistic Exchange. Send your message over the Greater Boston airwaves and internationally via the internet. For more information, contact Deborah Beauvais, Deborah at DreamVision7Radio.com or call 508-226-1723, 508-226-1723. The Global Holistic Exchange is all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Saturday at 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Psychic Java with Susan Peters is pouring you a cup of enlightenment. Listen to Psychic Java every first and second Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central Time. This show will bring about spiritual healing, a catalyst to lead you to your own healing abilities. Call in, ask questions, and receive answers, or share your experiences and views. This program is part of the Dream Visions 7 radio network.
Join CPA, personal financial specialist Jane Honick, and psychologist Amy Wood on Your Money and Your Life on the fourth Saturday of every month at 3 p.m. and create a new life with money, because it's not about the numbers. It's about your state of mind. Jane and Amy will help you master the beliefs that drive not only your financial life, but all the areas of your life that matter. With new awareness and a positive attitude, you'll be on your way to creating a life of greater prosperity. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
You have an appointment with the angels. At My Crystal Angel Show, the angel therapist Livia Jepson will present a fun and lighthearted hour with the company of the angels. Livia and friends will be transmitting angelic messages for perfect health, love, and prosperity, answering questions and performing angel healing to all the listeners. The first half of this show will be performed in Portuguese, the second half in English. My Crystal Angel Show is every fourth Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific, and is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Deborah, and you're listening to Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at 1510 AM Revolution Boston. You can pick up Bernie's show every first Saturday at 3 p.m. here, and then on Dream Vision 7 station, our own station, his show is aired weekly, Wednesday through Friday, 12 noon and 12 a.m., just by going on our site and clicking Listen Live Audio. He can be connected, or you can be connected with Bernie, should I say, by going on his site, BernieSiegelMD.com. The last name is spelled S-I-E-G-E-L, all one word, BernieSiegelMD.com. Also, if you'd like to save on any of Bernie's books or items, you can go to wisdomoftheages.biz. It's actually a store in Connecticut that his son and daughter-in-law own, and you can save 15% on any of those items. When you're ordering, you just place the code 27 in the comment box, and then they'll send you an email with the 15% deduction. So again, that is wisdomoftheages.biz and then BernieSiegelMD.com. If you'd like to connect with Bernie, read his articles. His books are all there. His latest one is the Miracle Book. And so back to the show, we are talking about aggression, rejection, the lack of reverence for life. And Bernie, you have another article you wanted to...
This is a short letter to the editor also. Dear editor, I cannot help but write every time we experience the violence that we just witnessed in Aurora, Colorado. What the perpetrators all have is no reverence for life. What they all do have is an experience of indifference, rejection, and abuse from parents, teachers, clergy, and other authority figures. They are seeking revenge, and we suffer the consequences. See, even bullying, I mean, it doesn't always have to be murder, but, you know, by how you act, you get a response.
Right.
So if you're a sweet little kid who doesn't bother anybody, you don't get a lot of attention, see? But if you're the kid who drives everybody nuts, everybody's focused on you. So the good kid often feels unloved, too, because nobody's paying attention to me. Yeah, right, because you're a lovely kid who never causes trouble, you see. So we have to know, let what I call the angels know, I love you also, but, you know, your sibling, classmate, whatever, is driving us nuts, so they're getting a lot of attention. Look at all the headlines, look at, you know, the Aurora murderer. He's got his picture in the paper, stories about his life, interviews with his teachers. Hey, you know, he's famous now. See?
Right.
Why? Because he murdered people. A child who grows up with parents who have a reverence for life and who rescue earthworms, as Schweitzer did and I do, are not going to hurt other living things. They're more likely to give their lives to save other living things of every species. Yeah, think of the people who threw themselves on their loved ones and died to save them.
Or even on someone that they didn't know.
Yeah, or, right.
Yeah, it's
Please
amazing.
Love the children. Adopt them. Become their CM or CD, chosen mom or chosen dad. Say they know someone cares and they can grow up feeling self-worth and esteem and become our next Gandhi or Mother Teresa and not our next mass murderer. Folks, love the children and save the planet. I didn't say like them. I said love them. You should combine discipline, respect, consistency, trust, exercise, affection, and love. So they all fit into the picture and enhance one's respect for and reverence for all life.
Yeah.
And I mean, that list, see, if you went to a veterinarian, and I honestly say this to people, you know, I have a new child, you know, what should I do? I say, go to a veterinarian with a puppy and say, how do I raise the puppy?
Okay?
And they'll tell you, love, trust, respect, consistency, affection, exercise. Okay, do it with your kids.
Right.
You know?
And what do you think? There's a lot of talk about the kids that were in the theater. And on one hand, I think of how we brought up our kids, and we would never do that. But yet, on the other hand, some of these young kids that are having kids are taking the small ones without thinking. Maybe they can't afford a babysitter, but here at midnight, there's a six-year-old and babies at the theater. How do you feel about that?
It's hard to answer. I'd have to say to them, why did you bring them? You know, because they're making a decision. If they said, well, I don't want to pay for a babysitter, then why don't you stay home with your child? Why isn't that more important than seeing the movie?
Right.
You know, to get them, that's why I say what I called the mottos to live by, that
exactly.
It's important to look at what is significant. Say, I like, again, using classic country western, let your heart make up your mind. That's a line from a song. But, you know, so if somebody's heart is in, I want to see the movie, I don't give a damn about the kids, that's a sick message to your children. See,
but on the other
that's
hand,
not enhancing life, if you know what I mean.
Right, and I agree with you, but on the other hand, you think of these young people that are still really kids, having kids, and they need some kind of time for themselves, only they're taking the kids with them. I mean, it doesn't add up.
No,
and
that's when you have to learn to ask for help.
Right.
I call the survival behavior, that if you said, I want to go to the movie, then say, hey, you know, ask a neighbor, ask a family member, can you babysit, can you be home here?
Right.
And take care of things.
Yeah, it's all those choices that the human makes, and then
well, that's why I keep repeating, choose life. You know, choose what's good for everyone,
right?
Not what is good for me.
The highest good for all.
I hear my father saying, one of the best things that ever happened was my father dying when I was 12 years old. And when I said to him, what are you talking about? He said, it taught me about life and what was important about life. See, they had trouble surviving, and I mean that literally. Six kids, a father who had no insurance because he had tuberculosis, who dies, and, you know, you have a mother and six children with no money. So he learned that money was to help people survive, you know, not to have a bigger car or a bigger house, because that's what I hear from other children who say, I ask my father why he's always on the computer, always with his BlackBerry, always. And he said, well, look at the house you're living in.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. I mean, he thinks being loving is giving his kid a big house. And she, and this happened, you know, I mentioned, I can't remember, was this program or the last one, that there's a book by Fulton Osler called The Book of Parables, where the ministers, two children were murdered, and he literally adopted the murderer. But this, another story, and as I say, they're all true, this happened in a subway. A father and a young daughter are sitting across, you know, opposite sides of the subway car, and the fathers are reading books or papers or whatever, and one of the girls picks up the father's hand and kisses the ring, his wedding ring. And he folds up his book and papers and starts talking to her and paying attention to her. And the other child tries to get her father's attention, and he criticizes her. Say, stop bothering me. I'm trying to read the newspaper. You know, and he, the observer of these two, you know, could feel the pain in the child who is rejected by her father while watching this other kid being accepted and loved by her father. And it's those small things, you know, that make all the difference in the world. And I don't care how old your kids are. I mean, ours are grown, and some of them have their own families and so forth. And I know that they still need me to love them rather than tell them what to do and, you know, like what medicine to take kind of thing, if you know what I mean, prescribe
yes.
for them. But it's to listen to them and let them get to know themselves and find what's right for them.
Right.
I've let go of them in the sense of trying to direct or you know, make their schedule and how much attention they pay to me. And, you know, I don't feel that's of significance anymore. To me, it's how much attention can I pay to them? I don't need to be paid back for
right.
You know, what I gave them.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's you know. So if we could just put a blanket of love on everyone, so this Colorado incident is the last one ever to happen.
It wouldn't happen. You know, as Mother Teresa said, that you know, as I mentioned in this letter, you know, if we become the Gandhi or the Mother Teresa. Gandhi had what's called ahimsa, nonviolence. I mean, he helped his so-called enemies, the people he was in conflict with, and it drove them nuts. They didn't know what to do with him. You know, they're arguing with him, and the next thing you know, he's helping them deal with some crisis. And Mother Teresa said it in her way. I won't attend an anti-war rally, but if you ever have a peace rally, call me.
Right.
And that taught me a lot, even as a doctor, you know, to stop fighting a war against the disease. Heal the patient. You see, you can eliminate the disease, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But if your focus is always on your enemy, we got to kill it, we got to this, we got to that.
I know.
What a different world. Well, all you have to do is pick up the newspaper every morning and, you know, the killings, the bombings, the everything that's going on. And I always say, what if you walked up and said, I love you? Can we stop this for a minute and talk to each other? Yeah, there may be some who have been so abused, they can't accept the love, but that's why you get back to the inquisitor saying to the prisoner, go and come no more. It's hard to deal with somebody who doesn't fight back.
Right.
And, I've seen this on a personal level when I can keep my wits about me and say I love you to people who are screaming at me. It has always worked beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
And left me, you know, laughing and smiling because of the power of it, rather than screaming at a person that I didn't do the wrong thing and stop blaming me and just say I love you.
Right, right. Because people get caught up in the drama of needing and wanting an argument. And
yeah, I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
And many times it's not about that particular argument.
Right.
It goes back 20 years ago or 10 years ago for something else.
What it's bringing up. There's one that I'm often sharing. It's a poem called Purple. I don't have it in front of me, but the essence of it is, and it's a true story, that this young lady in first grade drew a picture, and the teacher started criticizing it because she made a purple tent, and she said purple's a color, you know, for people who die. It's not for tents, and so I'm not hanging your picture on the wall. And in second grade, the teacher, Mr. Barter, said we're all going to draw pictures. And this young lady leaves her paper blank. She's so fearful. See? He comes over to the desk, and her heart is pounding away, because what's he going to say? He put her hand on her shoulder, his hand on her shoulder, and said, the snowfall, how clean and white and beautiful. You see? That changed that young lady's life.
Yeah.
She wrote that poem as an adult. But you see, she never forgot that moment. That's why he became, in a sense, her chosen dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in schools reading stories to kids. And the one moment I never forget is a boy walked up to me, sat down next to me on the floor, and said, will you be my father?
Your heart must have melted.
Yeah. What greater gift can you have?
Yeah.
I'm just there reading stories and sharing. And he's asking me, can I be, you know, will you be my father?
Mm.
And that's what we're all looking for.
Right.
A loving parent. I always say, act like a grandparent, because it's easier to be loving and less judgmental when you mature and become a grandparent, not just an ordinary parent, but a grand one. And, you know, to act that way towards yourself as well. Love yourself. Put your baby pictures up and be good to that kid, you know.
That's
because,
right.
I've had people who were self-destructive, you know, drug addicts, alcoholics, overweight, and, you know, I said, why don't you put your pictures up around the house and love that kid? And they look at you like, wow, what an idea, you know.
Right.
I mean, for the first time they wake up to the fact that they are, you know, a valuable treasure and a divine child, where nobody has ever shared that experience or information with them.
Right. That could help most of America with the obesity rate that we have with children and adults. So
yeah, that's why, as I mentioned, making a bottle half the size isn't going to reduce the obesity. People
that's right.
Get two bottles.
That's right.
I mean, it's ridiculous. You need, you know, if I were the mayor of New York, yeah, I'd get up and I'd say, folks, I love you.
Yes.
Take care of yourselves.
Right.
Making a smaller bottle is not going to save your life. But if you love yourself, it will.
That's
I always
right.
Say, it doesn't mean you're never going to have a, you know, bottle of soda or a chocolate ice cream cone. but you're not abusing them and doing it day after day after day to reward yourself for the love you never got.
Exactly. Well put. We'll be back in a moment, everyone. Stay with us. We're with Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Do you need to relax, have a few laughs, and hear some good news for a change? Join us on Eye of the Storm, your calm place in a crazy world, every third Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern with Charlene Sherman. Eye of the Storm is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Please join us on Skydance Astrology, the key to your soul's purpose, with esoteric astrologer Charlene Rose Johnson, the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. Charlene will discuss how this ancient key of the wisdom traditions works and will conduct sample interpretations of this language of the soul. Your spiritual purpose need not be a mystery. For information about obtaining oral readings via phone or Skype or full written reports, please go to the SkyDanceAstrology.com webpage. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. If you'd like to get in touch with him, if you have a question or you want to share something with him, you can go right on his site, Bernie Siegel, M.D., Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L, all one word, BernieSiegelMD.com. You can send him an email through his site with a question or a thought. He welcomes all. And so we are engrossed in such conversation about the times, aggression, rejection, how many people that do heinous crimes lack for reverence for life. And, you know, we were thinking during the break, you know, look at Penn State, how they took football and sports, which is a glorious thing, and turned it into what it is with All About Money, where they would look the other way at a child's expense. So how do you feel about that, Bernie?
Well, I think, yeah, it's another comment I always make is, who is your Lord? You see, I talked about my experience in my past life where my Lord told me to kill, and out of fear, I did. If I'd had faith, I would have said yes and then not been asked to kill, because I was being tested. And I think that when your Lord is money, then you don't give a damn about anybody else. I mean, I always say the parable that I got from God was, we're a satellite dish, a remote control, and a television screen. And when I said to God, I never understand parables. God said, look, Bernie, the satellite dish has a choice. It has options. Look at all the channels that are out there for us to tune into. So So I give you a mind, say, that's your remote control. And you pick the channel, you pick the voice, you pick the message that you're going to tune into and listen to. Then your body demonstrates it. And I think that, what the people at Penn State would be tuned into, and I don't mean every single one of them,
sure.
But those in charge are saying, you know, what's more important is bringing in the millions and millions of dollars for the school rather than thinking about how are we treating people and individuals and what is the message that we're putting out. So when, finances become your lord, yeah, you hurt a lot of people.
Right.
But when doing the right thing is what you're tuned into, then you have very different actions. And you point out when, destructive or harmful events are being carried out that don't help people.
Right.
Just looking at, while we took a break, some of my other letters to the editor going back several years. I mean, one here says the war isn't over. There are pictures of the streets in London where there's a Christian demonstration against Islam in Baghdad. And, here we are with our religions. Well, even a member of the clergy who's being put in prison for covering up child abuse.
Yes.
The judge said to him, you know what's right.
Right.
I'm sentencing you to prison. You had choices. And I think that's a big part of, what we're all growing up with. We know what's right. But if we haven't been brought up in a healthy way, then we don't choose what's right. Here's another line from a letter. I was a police surgeon in New Haven. The problem with the behavior of police officers is no different of that of any profession. You see, in other words, if you become a police officer because you want to have a gun, there's that violence in you, but you don't want to be a criminal and end up in jail. Yeah, but you may pick up the gun and kill people, thinking what happened in Florida, killing that teenager.
Right.
The Zimmerman thing. I mean, what is within him still? Yes, he may have been, I don't know what the kid did to him, but still, you could have run away.
Right.
You could have screamed
for choice.
Help. You don't have to pull out a gun and kill the kid.
Right.
Threatening your life. And again, it's all the decisions we're making every day. And
that's
I would,
right.
again, rather choose life and choose love because when... when you bring that into your life, it changes you. I mean, it's always hard for me not sort of one story leads to another, but you look at people who were in concentration camps who were able, and I mean this literally, to say, I love you to their, German guards, and it made it a hell of a lot harder for the guards to then kill them.
Right.
When they were online deciding who's going to go to the gas chamber, and the prisoner walks up and says, I love you. You pick the next guy, see? And
that's
you send
right.
that one off to go work somewhere. So, it's, again, survival behavior. And I always say it feels better in my life to be loving rather than to be hating someone and spend my time, my life's time, hating and bitter and resentful. When I could choose to be happy and smiling and helping others.
Right. And that's the goal for all of us, is to be in that place to serve. And
I'm just filing back through letters. Dear editor, with the way things are going in the world, it's time for the United Nations and all nations to create a peace day, a day when all nations cease any warlike activities and the heads of all nations meet for dinner at the United Nations. See? Mm. And then they wouldn't be allowed to talk politics, just get to know each other.
Right.
Can
you imagine the both parties in this country saying they love each other?
Yeah.
Would that be a...
But, if that's why when people get... It's easier to have the image, of persecuting, killing Jews, Christians, Buddhists, Muslims, whatever. But when you get to meet the person,
right?
Because there was something again in our local paper where a Palestinian and an Israeli, who were engaged in trying to kill each other, are now friends, going around trying to get people to again love each other, and they're doing it together.
Right.
And living the message in front of everybody. So,
I wanted to mention, too, speaking, it reminds me, the war horse. I don't know if you saw that, but it was around the war, but this horse that was adored by a young boy who became a person in the war. And just what happened that brought to my thoughts, the horse was trying to find the boy and got caught up in barbed wire, and the war stopped. I believe it was World War II, and the war stopped, and somebody from each side came across to clip the wire from the horse so it would be free. And so they stopped because they felt the love for the horse and stopped the war and everything for that moment. And that just shows you what love for an animal, love for life. It's amazing. The movie is Steven Spielberg's, which, it's a beautiful movie, but unfortunately around war.
I came across a poem in a book of poems these were published early part of the 19th century. And there was one called Rags. Well, there were two. One by Lord Byron in England. It's an epitaph to his dog, a monument carved to his dog, where the dog is buried. And he said, I can't remember all the words, but he said if all the things he had to say about this dog were written about a person, you'd realize it wasn't true. But it is about the dog. And the other was one called Rags. And I presume it was based on a true story, but this man is discharged from the army, I presume in World War I from the timing of this book, and he wants to take this dog home who has saved his life in the front lines, but he can't find what happened to the dog. So, he gives up and comes back to medical school. In medical school, he comes into a lab where all the students are being shown this cut-open animal. And he walks over, and it's the dog, Rags.
Yeah.
And the dog looks up at him and lets out a little whine and then licks his hand and dies. But he goes on to say, here is this dog who, in a sense, is being tortured, and what does he do? He licks the hand of the people, responsible.
Yeah.
And I saw this with our animals when I, as a doctor, have been caring for wounds when they've been bitten or injured. And to have an animal turn its head and lick your hand, I knew they were saying, you're hurting me, you're hurting me. It just, why didn't you take a bite out of my hand, Why didn't you get even with me, stop me? But to turn their head and just lick your hand, that melts your heart, You have to stop and try to find a way to not hurt them and be able to do it. I have to say, I got some cats who will give me a look, and go and say, you better stay away. But when you are working with them, once you start working with them, I'm amazed at how patient they are with you and allow you to do these things.
Mm. You know what I wanted to ask you? It pops up in my mind. Did you say that you were a surgeon for the police force at one time?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I learned a lot of things from that, too, because, think of how hard it is to go back out on the street after you've been shot.
Yes.
And think of all these people in that theater.
Yeah.
In Colorado, how you go out in the street again. How do you go back to the movie again?
Right.
What we call post-traumatic stress disorder, it doesn't matter what you want to label it, but you begin to realize it's scary out there. Maybe I should never leave home or go out in the world.
Right, but somehow you trust.
Well, you know, I always say, hey, we're mortal. You're here for a limited time. So, I mean, do you want to spend it sitting in your kitchen trying to be safe? Or are you going to step out in the world?
Mm.
And I'd rather step out and, you know, share my love and see what happens than spend my life hiding from everything and afraid of everything.
Right.
But it's, you know, I keep repeating, life is difficult. It's not unfair. It is just damn difficult. And why we all need to be brought up with the, what shall I say, the resources so that we can deal with the difficulties.
Right. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay.
The resources of love. Yeah.
Well, the, you know, I always say Joseph Campbell's a big therapist for me. And love your fate. And when you're going through hell, say, what am I to learn from this?
Right.
See, that helps me enormously because I always say I compare it to the hunger. Hunger leads you to nourishment. So when you're willing to say, what am I to learn from this, then your difficulties can literally become a blessing. I mean, they direct you to more growth and to become a better human being.
Right.
And to be kinder to other people. Instead of getting mad at the people causing you a problem, you begin to see that they're teaching you something.
Right, and you receive more joy when you're radiating from that place because you're feeling the love, and the love is powerful, and who doesn't want more joy in their life?
Right, and that's why the animals and the kids become, you know, should be our teachers. They want to have a joyful day, and that may be why they're driving you nuts sometimes.
Yes.
But still, hey, they, you know, they're not afraid to say, I want your attention, I want your love.
Right.
Yeah, and to do that. And we're, you see, that's the part of survival. What just popped into my head, you know, I've been talking about needing love. We have five children. One of them said to me one day, and that's what I admired him for. He said, you don't love me as much as the other children. I said, what are you talking about? Why are you telling me I don't love you as much? He said, I don't get 20% of your time. Now, I made it clear to him that his brother was one of his brothers was driving us nuts, so he got 40%. But you see, what impressed me is he came up and spoke about it. Think of how many kids never say that to their parents.
Right.
But sit in their bedroom saying, I'm at the end of the hall because they don't love me and they don't spend time with me and they put me way down here so I'm away from them.
Mm-hmm.
You see, but I could explain to him, no, you're at the end of the hall because I don't have to worry about you. When you shut the door, I don't worry what's going on in the bedroom. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so he could walk away realizing it wasn't a lack of love. It was what was going on in the house. But again, who gets attention? The person making trouble. But if they get attention in a healthy way, you don't have to be the troublemaker.
Well said. Well, we need to say goodbye, Bernie.
Okay.
And so with that said, what would your last words be?
My last words? I told you I wasn't feeling well. Right. No, but I think that what I mentioned about our anniversary, if I had to do it all over again, I do it with you. And I hope that people can come together with those kinds of relationships and be able to say something like that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and there's a lot of headstones in our cemetery that say, I would marry you again, you know, that's chiseled into the stone. And I think that's the kind of message, to keep, form the relationships and keep them whole and meaningful.
I love that. Well, with that said, until the next time, everyone, with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Bye for now.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.